Thanks for downloading the free feed of Sunday night's main event. If you'd like the entire show commercial free, please sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Welcome to Sunday night's main event for a very fresh and fascinating week in the world of wrestling, for better or for worse. You're listening to us on TSN Radio and News Talk 1290. My name is Jason Agnew, joined in studio this week by Mark Andrada. Mark, we're going to be doing a bit of a different style of episode here, simply because I think we got to get all the facts out in regards to what happened outside of the ring before we can talk about some of the really fun stuff that happened Friday inside the ring.
Stuff happened outside the ring this week?
Here and there.
Oh.
On airplanes?
Really?
Off of airplanes.
I don't think I heard about any of this.
In other countries.
What? What other countries?
Well, the one that's not many people go to for good reason.
Oh, no.
As we found out this week. So listen, what we're going to do here is rearrange the show. In the very next segment, Dave Meltzer is going to join us and lay out what happened with Saudi Arabia. And subsequently, because performers could not get out of Saudi Arabia, if you were not a very select performer, that's what led to what happened on SmackDown. So we'll talk about all of that still to come in the show. I mean, later on, we'll do Turnbuckle Trivia. We'll talk about AEW. But for once, I would say, since it started airing, AEW is not what I'm geared up and excited about this week.
Yeah, for the first time, I guess we're more excited to see NXT this week.
That is very true, and we'll talk about that because it could affect the ratings as well. Who knows? So lots to come. In the very next segment, Dave Meltzer giving us the lowdown on what happened in Saudi Arabia, what the fallout was, what led to SmackDown, and then we'll kind of work backwards and talk about Crown Jewel. We still have to talk about it, Mark.
I don't mind it.
And then maybe even a bit about Raw later. We'll talk about Full Gear and preview it later in the show. Lots to do this week. A jam-packed, news, detail-oriented show. It's Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio. Back with Dave Meltzer right after this.
Hello, Gordy LeVac here. No one swings and hacks like I do. And no one struts quite like I do, too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale, my beer, your beer, our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery, brewed for you, Ontario.
It's time!
It's time. For the Wrestling Observer Insider. Guess who's back? With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
Well, much earlier in the show, we have to play the stinger and chat with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Dave, yourself and Brian did a tremendous show that outlined a lot of what happened in Saudi Arabia. For the people who didn't hear it, though, and as we established this show, I want to go through it with you. I know you haven't slept much, right?
Not much, no.
It's been a very busy...
It's been, the last couple of days have been really interesting and so much, and then this weekend, there was so much going on this weekend, too.
Yeah, that's true with all the different events with the UFC and with MLW and New Japan as well, but obviously our focus today is going to be outside of the ring and the politics behind what did go on, not necessarily with the event, but it does reflect on that, but with the flight and the return home of the performers and the ramifications of that. Now, initially, of course, it had been suggested that there was a mechanical delay on the plane and thus performers couldn't get out. Was there any sort of mechanical delay? Have we established that?
I mean... There were people who were working on the plane, without a doubt. Wrestlers told me that there were people working on the plane, and they were told that there was mechanical delay. But they didn't believe it. And again, I don't know the situation. I think that it was a combination of the fact that there was the showdown with Vince and the Prince, mm-hmm. earlier in the day, and you know, one person told me that there were like military guards that were there, and the whole situation just didn't add up. So I don't think anyone really, like, aside from Vince McMahon and maybe a couple other people, I don't think anyone really knows what happened.
So let's go there. I mean, let's establish, what was the showdown between Vince McMahon and the Prince? What had happened in regards to payment and broadcast?
We don't know exactly. So this is what we know.
Okay.
So they, as of September 30th, they were not paid for the last show, and that was and other money. They were owed about $66 million from the Saudis on September the 30th, which may have been two shows.
Right.
It certainly included the last show. And they also didn't have a television deal that they thought that they were going to have. Now, they did get $60 million of that money recently. Exactly when, we don't know, but it was between September 30th and October 31st. Something happened with Vince. They pulled the feed in Saudi Arabia of the television show. It did air about 40 minutes later. So, you know, it aired on a tape delay rather than live. And that had to do with something. And people in the company, unofficially, were saying that it was a money issue between the sides. And then they did the show. And then when they tried to leave, you know, it was the plane had mechanical problems. And they were sitting there, you know, waiting for 6 hours, and then they were told that the pilot's time was up, so they couldn't go until later. And then that flight ended up not happening, and then later they finally did go, you know, 25 and a half hours later.
Now, in regards to who did get out, though, because, Vince got out, as did a few other people, correct?
Vince and his staff left on Vince's private plane. Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman left on his private plane. Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair and Jimmy Hart left on their private plane. Tyson Fury may have been on one of those flights. I don't know for a fact, but people had told me the boxer got out. I know Cain Velasquez was with the crew. He did not leave until, with everybody else late. Then there were also 20 people who were supposed to go to SmackDown that didn't make it to SmackDown, but did get out, that WWE was able to charter a flight for them. And then WWE claimed that they did it, but it was WWE that did it, which was really a weird part of the release that was like, why do you say that? Because, you know, everyone, you know, it makes no sense that these guys are chartering their own flight from Saudi Arabia, and it's only the SmackDown guys that were needed, the top SmackDown guys that were needed on the show. So that became like a really weird situation as well. But they did get out, and for whatever reason, they were not going to be able to make it to Buffalo on time, and end up landing in New York, and they missed the show as well.
So there seems to be an overwhelming feeling now that is kind of being left unsaid. But I mean, if you look at the situation, you got to think the talent feels that Vince basically just deserted them in this foreign, not very friendly country.
Yes, that sentiment has been said to me from many, many people. Whether, you know, what will, come of that, I don't know. You know, I mean, there were people who were saying that they would never go back. There were people who were saying that they're leaving at the end of their deal. But who knows, you know, like, again, a couple, you know, what's going to happen in a couple of weeks. There were, or months or years or whatever, you know, how, you know, there's always things that where people get mad at Vince and he smooths it over. So, I mean, long term, who knows? And it was a weird blessing in another sense, because the SmackDown show, with no talent other than the women, The Miz, Sami Zayn, and Daniel Bryan, who didn't go to Saudi Arabia, they had to bring up NXT talent to have a show, and it ended up being, you know, the best SmackDown show in a long, long time.
Oh, that's for sure. We'll get there.
Yeah. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding was that the wrestlers were on the plane, and they were taken off of the plane. Has anybody talked about what that process was? Was there anybody in danger any time, or did they feel like they were in danger?
I never heard of anybody being, no. And I'm sure if anyone was in danger, I would have heard, because I heard a million different stories from, you know, and including stories from previous tours and things like that that were, you know, again, and I don't know how reliable the stories were, because everybody's talking and, you know, working each other up, you know what I mean, with these stories. So, but, you know, it was one of those feelings where, you know, again, these are veteran travelers who do, you know, 100, maybe more, plane flights a year, and they're going to have their mechanical failures, and they're going to have delays all the time. This is like routine, but this was too many people were saying it just wasn't, it didn't add up the way they said. There's just too much, there was so much skepticism from the talent.
Did the Prince no-show a meeting with Vince McMahon as well? Because I've seen that put out there.
I don't, that I hadn't heard.
Okay. All right. Now, as you mentioned, though, Dave, of course, this did lead to what we got on SmackDown, which was, to me, just a blowaway fantastic show. I enjoyed it so much on Friday night. However,
it was very fresh, yeah.
It was, and I think that's one of the keys. Fresh and fascinating to watch. Was this the plan, though, for, I mean, not necessarily Invasion now, but was this the eventual plan that just had to be sped up?
No, not at all. There were no plans at all of anything like this. This just sprung up.
NXT,
the Lesnar Heyman angle was planned, but it was not planned for this show. It was planned for the debut of Backstage on Tuesday was when they were going to make that announcement. So that was they put that angle out early because they wanted since Lesnar did get out of the country and did go to Buffalo. I mean, he was not scheduled for Buffalo. But since he did get out of the country, they felt that they needed him for star power on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So that was sped up, yeah.
So, but NXT was always, the plan was always to have NXT at Survivor Series?
Yes, that was the plan.
But
probably just shooting angles on NXT, just like, Raw and SmackDown weren't going to shoot angles against each other. They were, even though they were going to be against each other on the show. So, I mean, everybody was supposed to be kept separate.
Now, I noticed a bit of, I don't know if it was a mistaken verbiage on Triple H's part, but it seemed to me like it was NXT versus SmackDown and Raw. Or is it NXT versus SmackDown versus Raw?
NXT versus SmackDown versus Raw.
Okay, so that's how it's going to be laid out.
That's what I was told, yeah.
What does this mean for TakeOver the night before Survivor Series, which is supposed to be War Games?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll go on just like planned. They'll do the card with the guys against each other, and then the next night they're going to be with each other. Kind of like it was weird, because you're watching, like Adam Cole, the anti-authority guy, was, hey, Adam, come over here. We need you for a match. And he was like total babyface representative of the brand, well, on Wednesday. So there's a lot of storyline contradictions, but there's going to be when there always is in WWE anyway, but there's going to be even more when you're back's against the wall and you just have to do something to fill time and create an angle that was not well, thought out at all,
mm-hmm.
or ahead of time, or had no time to be thought out because it was on the spur of the moment. Yeah.
Right. Pat McAfee sort of slid in the commentary role there partway through SmackDown. Was that a plan, or did they pull Aiden English for some reason?
He was called at the last minute, please get here as quick as you can. He was not scheduled for the show.
But Aiden started the show, so was that a matter of him getting there late? Because it was very interesting to see Aiden make the mistake of calling Shayna the Queen of Hearts, and then they came back from commercial and he was pulled. It was strange.
Yeah, that was strange. Aiden was supposed to do the show, then McAfee showed up, and I guess they just figured that McAfee's maybe McAfee knew all the NXT talent and Aiden didn't. Maybe it was... whatever reason, yeah.
Okay. Now, previous to all of this happening, we had the WWE quarterly investors call. The stock drops another $10, and this is a bit of a trend going on. Now, the company's not in trouble financially. Why do you think there was the drop? Did it also have to do with, the lack of $60 million that was owed?
Uncertainty. The main thing is that WWE had promised or had projected $200 million in EBITDA and then said we were only going to get to $190 million, which still is good, but that led to uncertainty about a lot of things, and then they didn't have like straight answers as far as like, are you going to do one show or two shows in Saudi Arabia next year? And we don't really know. What about this TV deal in the Middle East? Well, we thought we would get it done, but it's not done. What about India? Well, we're going to get it done in the fourth quarter. So there's a lot of that. The business indicators were all bad. They were all down. But my impression was it was more the TV deal in the Middle East and India may have been the catalyst of the stock price dropping. Plus, you know, again, the network number to me was very concerning. That was the most concerning thing at all to me. I knew about the house show numbers were what I knew, so it didn't surprise me. The network number, you know, I only get that every 3 months when they have that, and it wasn't a lot lower than I expected, but it was lower, and what I expected was bad, and then it's going to get lower in the fourth quarter because it almost always does, and they even projected it's going to get lower in the fourth quarter. So, and it'll pick up from WrestleMania and everything, but it's probably going to be well. You know, they're down 10% year to year, mm-hmm. and that's a lot. It really is, especially for a product that, for $9.99, I think the network is a great, great bargain for what I get out of it. But evidently, and it was always, you know, it was always slow growth. You know, it never got to where they expected, but it was profitable and successful for sure. And all of a sudden, it's falling hard. And the only thing that's different, I mean, creative hasn't been good for years, but something happened in the last year when it comes to the consumers and this product, you know, whether it's too many hours, whatever it is, and it's really, and it's not even the whole year. It's really been since a little bit before WrestleMania, because there was a drop at WrestleMania from the year before, which had never happened before, but then it really hurt, went down in quarter two and quarter three.
Right. Now, going back to NXT invading SmackDown, is the plan to keep that angle going, or was that a one episode deal? Like, are they going to show up on Raw?
I was originally told it was one episode deal, but I think that everyone is like thinking out that it can't be because it was successful. So I don't know. I don't know that anyone knows for sure. I mean, I guess they're coming up with a plan now. Originally, it was just a stopgap measure, but the nature of the fact that NXT went over so strong in every single angle makes me think that from Paul Levesque, who obviously, you know, was the spearhead of it, and Vince, you know, who accepted it, that they would have had to have built to doing more at some point. But I know people who were, you know, worked there, who during the show were saying this is a one-time thing, and then after, you know, when I, you know, was in contact with them, it was very much, how can we not do more? And that was my thought when it was over. It's like, you know, even if this was supposed to only be a one-show stopgap measure and everyone's back next week, but I don't expect a lot to happen next week because they're in Europe, mm-hmm. unless they fly the NXT guys to Europe. And, you know, they could do that. But, you know, the show's being taped in Manchester, England on Friday this week, so it's not as easy as if it was taped in, you know, the Southeast United States.
And to all people that are going hog wild saying how great Triple H is, I mean, yes, he was there and running part of this show, but this was still a Vince McMahon show, correct?
It's always a Vince McMahon show. But Triple H, look, as far as like the ideas that were used, these were Triple H's ideas. As far as the idea that NXT runs in and destroys everyone, Triple H suggested it because it's his brand, but Vince accepted it, which was a surprise to have it that strong. When SmackDown is this big brand and you kind of, you know, it was almost like that WCW devastation where you devastate your own brand, you know, to make the other brand cool, you know, with the NWO, and which in the long run did a lot of harm. But, Vince, you know, look, Vince accepted it, and they have to have an idea of what they're doing. And it can't end one side, especially where you have, you look at SmackDown, they all got destroyed. Granted, the big stars weren't there, which is, I'm sure, going to be part of the storyline. Mm-hmm. And Brock left, who was supposed to be the biggest star on the brand, which is really weird.
Well, Dave, I think that does ring into the next question. We've seen invasion angles, we've seen ECW, we've seen WCW, and what always happens in Vince's brain is that the WWE brand has to be superior and has to win.
Yes.
The difference here is NXT, he owns it. Paul created it.
But he owned ECW, he owned WCW.
But this one's different. Those were created.
No, this is completely different, because this is really their brand.
Right.
Whereas the other ones were brands that he thought that he had to kill for, you know, historical reasons or whatever, yeah.
So I think the question does come about. It's like, how far is Vince willing to push? Can the NXT brand go over? Because honestly, Dave, if they don't, then we just circle back and everything old is new again.
I don't know where they're going next, but you would think that the SmackDown brand will get some revenge.
Mm-hmm.
But you would think that it's going to end up even, I think in the end it ends up even because you don't want to hurt either brand because you own both brands because you don't want to make NXT to be. Now, it's funny now because now you've got these NXT guys, and they're not getting paid by but like the Raw and SmackDown guys.
Right.
Even though they're on TV, mm-hmm. and they're the cool guys, especially if they're the ones who are the catalyst for, you know, a big resurgence in their own brand and in SmackDown ratings. But I'm sure that if that happens, I'm sure that the pay structure will change. You know, that's just inevitable. I don't think that, like, if they're going to be on the big brands, I think that the guys are going to be making a lot more money. I think that that's just inevitable.
I mean, I'd imagine you'd also want to keep the NXT guys strong because they're the ones going into battle.
Well, the ones going into battle. Yeah, right. And they're in battle on Wednesday. They mm-hmm. can't make them 2 weeks. Exactly.
Dave, well, you know, before all this happened, I thought we'd be spending our whole chat today talking about Jordan Miles. This seems like so long ago. This broke last weekend, right before we were on the air. What's come about with Jordan Miles? There was the T-shirt controversy. He went crazy on Twitter, then started attacking other promotions and other people, such as Jay Lethal. Where does it stand at this point with Jordan Miles?
I haven't even heard anything about Jordan Miles in days. He hasn't. He must not have had sent anything after tweeting a whole bunch of stuff. I just hope everything's okay with him. That's just my thought because there's a lot. He seemed.
It did read like a mental health issue at a certain point.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Yes, when at first when he was mad about the T-shirt, I could see he's mad about the T-shirt. But when it kept with the scattershot of all these different things. And the Jay Lethal comment, and then backtracking on so many things, it felt like someone who lashed out and realized, whether he was threatened or what, that he kind of backed off. So, it was a very weird story, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, what do you think his end game was with all that?
I don't think he had an end game. Mm-hmm. I think that he was just really, really mad,
right.
And maybe he was just looking, he felt that there was a point. And at the beginning, I think that there was, for sure. But I think he just kind of got carried away. And, what he's looking for now, I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing. I can't imagine. He hasn't been released, which is interesting.
Well, I think that would cause an absolute media storm if he was released, though.
Yeah.
Unless he requested it publicly.
Yeah.
Right.
Which he didn't do.
No, he did not. It's very.
Which is interesting, because how do you use him? How do you bring him back? If you don't release him, then so what does happen with him next?
Also,
he's not on like a high paid contract or anything like that. I mean, it's those NXT deals are not that big, but it's something. I mean, it's probably I don't know that it's more than he was making before, but it probably I shouldn't even say probably because I know a lot of guys go to NXT and take a pay cut to go there, but it's probably in line. I mean, He was doing some Japan tours, and he was working for he was gone from ROH by that point. It was really just Japan tours and indies. So I don't know that he was making great money, doing that either.
I mean, Mark mentioned the end game there. This is so strange though, because even if Jordan Miles is released, if you're ROH, unless you're going to make a public feud out of it, you don't touch him.
No.
AEW, I don't think would want this headache. It's just a headache.
It's a risk that you don't need.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know.
So where does he go? I guess Impact, but I mean, what's that?
Impact in New Japan. Or
I
one
guess.
Or the other. Yeah, one of those two. But, I could see New Japan. I mean, because he's talented and, he worked there before. They liked him. They're doing more U.S. tours. They need some U.S. names. So I could see that, but... Yeah, I could see that one as a possibility.
All right, Dave. We've taken up enough of your time today. Really appreciate you being on with us. Obviously, The Observer is going to be a stacked issue trying to dig down deeper into the WWE Saudi findings, correct?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So you've got that and a whole week worth of coverage as well. I mean, last night there was a UFC, so all of that coming up in this week's Observer?
Yeah, that's in there. And just all of the, details on all of the, who's watching what. And Wednesday ratings, real interesting this week. Real interesting. Because What did Friday mean for the NXT brand? Mm-hmm. Will that carry over? They did a nice number. You know, they did 2.5 million viewers on Friday. Does that carry over to Wednesday? And do they come close? Do they beat AEW? I mean, it's very possible.
Yep.
I've got to think. You know, I've got to think there's a good chance that they win on Wednesday.
I would say that after Friday, my interest is absolutely peaked in NXT. And if I were to make the choice, as a wrestling fan, I'd actually tune into NXT first this week. And that's the first time I've said that since these two went head-to-head.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested in both shows.
Yep. Well, Dave, thank you so much. We'll speak to you next week, and we'll get all of the fallout from Full Gear as well.
Okay, cool. Have
there
a great week.
You too. So as we said there, Dave Meltzer, all of his work, The Observer, a great podcast with him and Brian Alvarez that they did last night, detailing a lot of what we talked about here, is available at WrestlingObserver.com. It is your number one source. Now, listen, we had to start there on the show, Mark, but I can't. I was texting you when I was watching SmackDown. I watched it on Saturday morning. I was glued to it.
Yeah, likewise.
I wanted to establish all the details first, but now I think it's time to fanboy out.
Yeah.
Over what happened on
Absolutely.
Friday night.
I've got some theories.
Oh boy. Let's come back and do that. Sunday night's main event continues right here on TSN Radio.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
Welcome back to Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. That was Adam Cole, your NXT champion, defeating Daniel Bryan on Friday Night SmackDown. Now, we've just established what has happened here. And, you know, I was so fascinated to watch this show initially just to see what WWE was going to do in this situation. And honestly, I don't think they could have made any better choices. Mark, and when's the last time we've said that?
I know. And it's funny that they got forced into this position, and that's how they got a good show going.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something to be said about WWE working best when their backs are against the wall, because that's seriously what it was here.
Right. What I'm more curious about now is what happens going forward.
Yeah. As Dave had said there, there's a tour in Europe coming up where they're going over to the UK. So we don't know what is going to happen with this invasion. And honestly, I don't think they know. With the way that WWE has been going about changing all the scripts at the last minute and Vince being so unhappy, the thing is, with this Friday night show, the amount of feedback that I saw online, people contacting me, interacting on the board, on Twitter, etc., everything has just been so overwhelmingly positive that I've seen.
Yeah.
But if you noticed, yes, Adam Cole got a good reaction.
Mm-hmm. But got an incredible reaction.
Yes, yes. But along with that, I guarantee you, there are people in that audience that, to them, Daniel Bryan is the hero and the star. So why is Adam Cole winning?
Well, Adam
to the common fan.
But Adam Cole's the champion. He's a champion on another brand, so of course, you walk in and he's established.
Well, no, he's not established to many of these people.
I understand that, but you, as a fan, unless you're completely out to lunch.
There's a lot more of out to lunch people than I think we think, Mark.
Fair enough. But if a guy comes in with a belt, you expect that he's a champion of some kind.
True, but belts don't mean as much as they used to. And yes, he's a good champion. He has been protected. You and I know that. The people that are listening to this right now, anyone who is listening to this right now absolutely know that as well. And I'm going to bet 99.9% of our listeners loved what they saw on SmackDown. But you know that there are the people out there that maybe they're just going to see wrestling and they're going with their kids maybe, and they were incredibly confused at what happened. Oh, I do. I actually do. Yep, I do think those people are out there, and I don't think we realize it sometimes.
Did you see them? Like, were they tweeting, or is there something that, like,
no,
led you to believe that?
I feel as though we exist in a bubble. Right. And sometimes our opinion, I do, okay, so what I do on Facebook sometimes is, yes, we have our group, and that's where my focus is. Mm-hmm. Along with that, I've joined some of the other groups out there, like WWE fans, etc. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're like, wow, racism. Stereotypes.
Sure.
Wow, sexism. And those fans, I think that a lot of them, you know, they see Roman Reigns as the big star. You know, yeah. Daniel Bryan is established to them. They probably, to some of them, NXT's garbage.
Well, even last time WWE was in town and we took our nephew to see the show,
yep.
There was a man sitting right behind us that was, they obviously knew nothing about wrestling.
Okay.
They didn't, I mean, they knew about wrestling, but they didn't know the current storylines and that kind of thing. And the dad said, that's my guy. He was pointing, I think, at Roman Reigns, maybe,
okay, yeah.
Or it was Seth Rollins. I can't remember who it was. Somebody had a belt. Somebody was a champion. And he said, well, he's the champion, so he's the best one. And that's just it.
Those people are still out there.
Yeah. That was the end of that story for him.
That's basically what I'm thinking. However, I don't want to get caught up in those people. Because screw them.
Oh,
I want to talk about
how
exciting this was to watch.
It was great.
For us. Now, the first segment was odd, and we can talk about that a little bit later with Brock and Paul and Brock leaving, and that just seemed like a relic of another era to me.
I was just surprised that he was going to be leaving Fox.
Me too.
I imagine the storyline going forward is that he has to be on Fox or something. Like, they're going to say that he can't just do that.
I don't know what happens.
But what's Fox going to do with that? I thought that was part of the deal that Fox wanted him.
They wanted Ronda Rousey, and they ended up with Brock Lesnar. Yeah.
Is Rousey on her way back?
Who knows?
To fill his shoes?
But, okay, so there's that. But I don't know how you digest it. We didn't watch it together. We actually both watched it the next day, and I had the best Saturday morning I've had in God knows how long watching this. So Brock leaves, and immediately you see Triple H and HBK showing on screen, right? Yeah. And this, to me, it was almost like a passing of the torch. It's like, there's the first segment that we're used to seeing on SmackDown, and now it's gone, and it's like, now these two guys are in charge. Like, to me, as a viewer, I'm just like, oh, why are they there? What's happening? You know that it's kind of funny how both Shawn and Hunter are now linking. They're hitching their wagons to NXT.
Yes.
That's very interesting. So to me, that was a changing of the guard. Now, I didn't realize that when I watched it, though, because then you get the Bayley versus Nikki Cross match, and like, okay whatever, sure. Here we go. Sure, yeah. Nikki Cross, she hasn't been relevant to me since she left Sanity, etc.
Well,
not
I'd
established.
I'd also just like her to do the character she's doing. Is she doing this character?
She's
or not.
Not
doing this.
She's not doing this character. That's a huge issue.
Yeah. Well, then why is her theme song that of a screaming person?
She is like the Dark Order, where she just doesn't make sense because she's doing two gimmicks at once.
Yeah.
But then Shayna attacks.
Yes.
And I sit up in my chair.
The Queen of Hearts.
I'm just I still have to wonder if that got him pulled off commentary.
Really? You think so?
I don't know, man. It was a flub.
Pull.
Tom, you know, I don't know why Pat wasn't there from the beginning. Like, why was Aiden there? Unless Pat got to the arena late. Like, we don't really know the details on that.
Yeah.
But to me, all I watched, and I'm like, ooh, Queen of Hearts. Tom was in there. By the way, Tom Phillips.
Just very good.
Very, very good.
Excellent.
And corrected him right away. I'm sure flubs are made, etc. But all of a sudden, Pat McAfee was in there. But so Shayna shows up. I'm like, to me, it was like, finally. She has been so protected as an NXT champion.
Yeah.
This is awesome. And there really isn't the perspective anymore to go up or go down, because this is, to me, all lateral with the TV deal, right?
Yeah, I would hope so, yeah.
But I'm just kind of like, cool, she's come up. And then, McAfee joins in. And it didn't click to me until Zayn was doing the promo, and then I saw Keith Lee and Matt Riddle.
Oh,
and I was like,
very excited about that.
Oh my goodness, they're doing an invasion.
Yeah.
Wow, this is great. And Matt Riddle also, one of the highlights for me, and Renee pointed it out, running in the flip-flops?
Yeah.
How?
That's an athlete.
Right?
That's an athlete.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
All the things that happened, and we're pointing out the flip-flops regardless. I was like, how's he going
to
catch up?
Also, how quick of Sami Zayn to pick up the flip-flop to hand to him. It was such a great move.
So doing the segment with Zayn was fine. You didn't need a match. You're just essentially, you're establishing these two guys as leaders.
Yes.
And which are great because, and I think Riddle's come about, especially for our fan group. Like, he is just a star waiting to happen if he isn't already.
Mm-hmm. Same with Keith Lee for me.
Well, to me, no.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
He hasn't because he had the injury.
Right.
I haven't really gravitated to Keith Lee as much as most people. Yeah, really. I'm in the minority here, perhaps.
Well, in this room.
Okay. It was 50-50 still, but okay.
I don't know. I got it.
So, but nonetheless, I love these two being linked together, and they were just linked together on NXT this week as well in the tag. Yeah. So that's awesome. And they just got their respective finishers over.
Yes.
What a great segment.
Yeah. I'm such a huge Keith Lee fan. I love Keith Lee.
Really?
Yeah, I love Keith Lee. And when he, like, I saw a couple of his matches in PWG.
Okay.
And when they signed him, I was very excited. And he hasn't quite hit the stride that I've been hoping for with NXT.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this is a huge step in the right direction. I'm very excited about
it. Yeah. And so then you move on and Miz comes out. And, you know, Miz was supposed to do the Bray Wyatt thing this week and didn't know if that was going to start a program or what was going to. I was actually I'm not excited because my excitement, when I use the word excited, that's what I was for NXT and this invasion and how it went.
Yes.
I was curious.
Intrigued, perhaps.
Intrigued, yeah. Maybe, because Crown Jewel, Bray Wyatt winning, horrendous. Not necessarily the win, but the red light. We don't have to talk about that now. We'll duck back into that later.
Yeah.
But seeing what was going to happen here is we were going to see the Firefly Funhouse Bray Wyatt exist on television, minus, like, out of that world. So I was curious to see how that was going to transpire, because we haven't seen that yet, right?
No, we haven't seen that. And I didn't think that that's how that was going to go. I thought that Miz would be in the ring and the Firefly Funhouse would pop up on the screen and they would do the interview. That was just what I assumed.
Mm.
So I guess we still have that coming.
Yeah.
Who knows what that's actually,
because they could have done that with, and then the Fiend could have come out and attacked Miz. And I don't know if that's where they were going, because that'll be a terrible program if they are going that direction.
Unless it's just a squash. I mean,
but still. That's,
people talk about, you know, Bray Wyatt not being better than, you know, 6 minutes, right? Like, whatever, five minutes. After 5 minutes, like, I can't watch this.
I don't even give him five anymore.
But that, to be fair, yeah, I know. I'm with you. I don't like the direction that they took this character. I like the direction that I invented in my head weeks ago.
Well, that's part of the problem, I think, with fans nowadays. But regardless, okay, continue.
Well, I mean, I liked it. I liked that the idea that he was kind of like the Joker, right? That he's this agent of chaos.
Yes, yes, yes. I liked your theory.
Yeah,
but now that you ruined it for me as well.
Yeah, they've given him some supernatural thing, and he's like Nouveau Undertaker.
That's what he is. Yeah, yeah.
And I don't care for that.
Yeah.
I don't care for that one bit. But if that's the case, then we couldn't watch an Undertaker match for more than 5 minutes when Undertaker first started either. Nobody wanted an Undertaker match that was very long, because all he was going to do was get up
consistently
over and over again.
Yeah.
And then he's going to no-sell everything, and then he's just going to tombstone somebody, the end.
Yeah.
So just get to it, because we know that's what's going to happen. And when he did just his spots, we loved him at the beginning, right? And then eventually the character grew and it changed. But I think that's where we're at with Bray Wyatt, where like all we want is Bray Wyatt to take five curve stomps, get up, a mandible claw in the end.
I just don't want to see him.
No,
failed, man.
Well, I think that we're not at the same time as when The Undertaker came.
Well, that's very true.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And I think that, and this is why I really thought that's what was happening with Bray Wyatt, because Paul Heyman, I believe, consistently, and I think he still can do it, has his finger on the pulse of that part of society. Like, of that zeitgeist.
What part of society?
There's that young, angry man. You know what I mean?
Okay.
The same, like, the I know that Seth Rollins is the one who has the catchphrase, burn it down.
Mm.
But the vibe, the feeling in the hearts of people that really want to burn something down, it's the same thing that makes the Joker popular right now.
Okay, yeah.
It's that same thing in the cultural zeitgeist that I think they were going to latch on with, or they could have latched on with Bray Wyatt, and they've just steered the ship in another direction, where I think it would have been much better off if he was relating to that crowd that just wanted to see what happens if we tear the whole system down.
Yeah, I agree with you, and they haven't gone that direction.
No, I know, it's very sad.
So instead, we get Ciampa coming out with Miz.
Yeah.
It takes a lot for me watching wrestling to be moved by something and to sit there, to sit up and have, I got, you know, when you watch something really cool and you get the tingles?
Yeah, yeah.
I got the tingles for Ciampa's promo.
Right,
I thought
on.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
This guy's great. And when he came out, I was like, oh man, this is, how perfect is this? Now, another thing that as I was watching this show, I had already read the reports where obviously this came together right at the last minute. And I'm talking like they had to get a police escort to get these people, to get the NXT stars to the arena.
Oh, I did not
like,
know that.
That's how close it came. So with that in mind, you know, none of these matches had any time to rehearse.
But also, wait, police escort? Yeah. They have that kind of stroke that they could just call the police?
I can make it happen.
That's unreal.
Hey, Vince knows Trump.
That's crazy.
Makes it happen.
That's not an emergency. What if there are people getting... All right, I'll drop it.
So Ciampa and Miz also have a match. I mean, I thought the promo duel was good. Miz, it's just, it was like watching... It was like watching a wrestler and watching someone play wrestler, though, with Miz. Like, I didn't really like what Miz did here, but I love Ciampa.
Right.
And then they have a match. And the interesting thing about this is I didn't think this match was great. I thought they got crossed up numerous times, but it also didn't matter to me watching it because I was watching it on the level of this is being put together in front of my eyes right now.
Yeah.
And I want to, I'm curious to see how they get through it and what they're doing because they're improvising the whole thing. And the fact of the matter is, as we go through this, Mark, like every single matchup was fresh.
Yes.
And that is the key. That's why I've been enjoying AEW so much because every single matchup is fresh. And NXT wasn't fresh. I had seen a lot of those matches, but NXT with the main roster guys is completely fresh.
I agree.
And watching this match, I didn't care that it wasn't seamless. I thought it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I was even more excited. For me, the tingles came, I don't want to jump ahead here, but for me, the tingles came when Daniel Bryan and Adam Cole faced off.
Mm-hmm.
That was because that's when I texted you.
Yes, you did. Wow, is this
really about to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And then that match happened, and I thought that match was excellent.
Oh, that match was excellent. I think that you also look at the quality of the performer there. It's Adam Cole and Daniel Bryan.
Right.
Ciampa, I throw up into that category. And then one of them's Miz
and then
in
Miz.
That other match,
and
right?
Miz, who, you know,
he works hard and listen.
And he's safe.
It's just like, but he's not. He's come up through the WWE system fully, and I just feel as though he's a guy playing a wrestler.
He's a very good sports entertainer.
Good hand.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan and Triple H are after the Miz run-in, after the Miz match, happened backstage. I can't tell you how much I love this.
Yes.
Because not only do you... So you have a tease of Daniel Bryan and Triple H.
And then a tease of the Shawn Michaels.
The Shawn Michaels
thing is very funny to me.
Was so funny because I'm focused on Michaels in the background.
Yeah, casually taking off his jacket. Oh, it's cold in here.
But what was nice about it, though, is you saw the Michaels tease, and as it was happening, I'm like, oh, guys, you're teasing this. Like, how do you come back from this? But then when Cole walks on the screen, there's an even bigger ovation than Michaels.
Yes.
And I thought that was great, and kudos to the crowd for recognizing that and being there and being so into this happening because they could have been disappointed, right? There was a risk involved.
Yep, that was a danger for sure, but they weren't.
Bianca Belair is next.
Right.
She's taking out Dana Brooke and picking up Carmella.
Yeah.
And just hoofing her. Just throw completely safe. You know, there's a ton of cushions back there.
It looked great.
It looked amazing.
Yeah.
It looked so incredible. There's a bit of a mess up here after that because you have Rose and DeVille watching on the screen, and I guess they were supposed to face Brooke and Carmella. Now, the ring announcer screws up here and already announces Rhea Ripley and Tegan Nox as the opponents, and then they come out and say, oh, you don't have opponents yet. It was a bit of a mix-up. It was a bit weird.
I mean, you know.
It's also weird to see that all of these women are fighting together, and I've just watched NXT where all of these women are fighting against one another because they're going to be in a War Games match together.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there was a bit of a disconnect.
Yep.
Also, I didn't care.
I also didn't care.
I was just so excited about what was happening. And then I think once again in this match, because you had Rose and DeVille versus Ripley and Nox, and again, I'm watching this match and you're not dealing with incredibly experienced performers, especially when it comes to Rose and DeVille, but they're trying to make their way through, calling this on the fly with Ripley and Nox. There were bumps in the road here.
Sure. I still enjoyed it.
I was fascinated.
Yeah.
Fascinated.
Rhea Ripley's so good, though.
I really like this character. She's so badass.
Yeah, she's great.
Okay, and then Stephanie comes out and does a Saudi Arabia women's thing.
But I never need to see Stephanie.
I never
need to see Stephanie.
I was criticized quite a bit when I was running the Twitter when I was watching the Saudi Arabia event, the Crown Jewel
thing, yeah.
I didn't care for the women's match. I just thought it was, I can't take the context of the show, take this match out of the context of the show.
Yeah.
Of all the blood money, right? And, okay, you're doing this for women, but sure it can. And, you know, you look at the women at ringside and maybe this does inspire them and show that, but I can't focus on that when I'm so focused on this event shouldn't even be happening.
I'll be honest, I was in and out of the Crown Jewel event when it was happening live. Did somebody throw a water bottle at Natty?
Oh, I don't know.
Did she get hit with a water bottle?
Well, I'm not sure.
Somebody I missed her entrance, so I went, wait, what?
I saw the one cutaway of the man sitting in the audience covering his eyes while the women's match was going on.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was a meme that made their way out.
Good grief.
And then your Tingles moment, which is Cole and Daniel Bryan.
That's my Tingles moment.
This match that happened, and Cole wins.
Yes, Cole wins clean.
Yes.
Cole wins an incredible match.
Right.
Clean.
Yes.
With his finish.
Yep.
Oh, it's exactly what needed to happen.
It is. It's just,
how often do you get to say that?
I know.
How often?
It was so refreshing to watch this, a WWE product that was just so entertaining. And I can't say the word fresh enough because the problem with this product is it's so stale. It's so repetitive. How many damn times are we going to see Ricochet and Drew McIntyre in the ring together?
Oh, poor Ricochet.
Right? Oh, poor Ricochet. Don't even get me started on. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. Here is what is very interesting going back to Triple H and Shawn Michaels. Remember back to the Attitude Era. In WWE folklore, in WWE history, the Attitude Era, yeah, there's Austin, yeah, there's Rock, but there's DX.
Yes.
DX were the young ones, quote unquote young ones, who changed the industry being disrespectful to the old guard.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is DX are the two guys standing in front of the young guns who are up here trying to overhaul the stale product.
Yeah.
That is...
The young rebels became young businessmen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is kind of what we've got here.
It's on brand.
They've put themselves, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, his best friend, have put themselves in front of this group because really, in traditional wrestling booking, what should be happening here is the NXT guys should be beating the crap out of DX.
No.
Right? Because that's what should... They're the old rebels, but they're now old, and they've had the championship. So NXT, but instead, they're the leaders of this new troop.
Yeah. So it's Shawn Michaels and Triple H once again embarrassing the McMahons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Triple H is... McMahon.
Yeah.
It's why
he calls himself the game.
Yeah.
He's good at it.
Cerebral assassin, check.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be fascinating to watch. However, though, as we make our way to Survivor Series, and I brought this up with Dave, what has to happen here for this to work? Like, we don't know what's going to happen, but pure speculation. And also, I could have sworn I heard Triple H say NXT versus Raw and SmackDown. And I don't know if that
might,
was a misspeak.
Might have been a slip, yeah.
Right? But what has to happen here with NXT? Because to me, they have to come out dominant, or it's ECW all over again. It's WCW all over again. It's Nexus all over again.
That was the thought that I had at the end of SmackDown. All I could think was, Nexus.
I loved that Nexus takeover of Raw when they ripped up the ring. I remember watching that three times over and seeing Daniel Bryan choke Justin Roberts.
I was just about to say, this would have been the only thing that would have made this better for me personally
is if
somebody had choked Daniel Bryan with a tie. That's the only thing that would have made that better for me.
Oh, man. But how much? So what has to happen in your opinion?
I think, okay, so I have a theory.
Oh, boy.
So, do you remember when I told you about my theory about AEW versus NXT and how it was kind of like when Johnny Carson left late-night television?
Everyone is very familiar with your theories.
With my theory of... So, it became David Letterman versus Jay Leno, and Arsenio Hall, who was the number one, got taken down by that war. And I was like, this is what's going to end up happening. Raw and SmackDown are going to be the Arsenio Halls here, and they're going to get taken down by this war between AEW and NXT. And I think what we're in a position for now is that NXT and Raw and SmackDown become Letterman and Leno, and we ignore the Arsenio Hall that could have been in AEW.
Oh, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I can't see. I mean, I'm...
It's the best way to do it. You stage a war in your own company.
But they've tried the war so many times.
You're not wrong.
They have tried it over... I mean, that's... Nexus was one of my favorite moments. I love that ECW moment where Paul is in the ring and all of a sudden everyone just turns. Do you remember this? And then you look in the ring.
Which time was this?
This is the one that happened on SmackDown. It was ruined within an hour when Stephanie became the leader of ECW.
Okay, so it was that time. Okay. The first time when Rob Van Dam jumped.
Not that one. Yeah. No. The second time on SmackDown where you just realize that everyone turns and is facing the same way as Paul, and you look at the guys in your ring and you're like, oh, it's all old ECW guys. That is incredibly well booked. But we've seen that, and that failed. And WCW failed, and Nexus failed.
Yeah,
we could be here next week, Mark.
I expect this to fail. To be honest, I have no. And this is the thing about this company is that I have no faith that this company is going to get something right. When have they gotten something right? Like they got this right, but that was an accident. So in terms of long-term booking, and again, I go back to this. I've made this point so many times. Daniel Bryan himself said on an interview,
yes.
You remember when he said, you think that this company has the ability to tell a story over a year?
I think he was asked in somewhere around August about something at WrestleMania and how this build would work. Yeah. And yeah, he said that in the interview.
He laughed openly at the interviewer and said, what in the history of this company leads you to believe that they could do that?
Well, really what happened here is... Listen, I don't know where the writers were. I guess they didn't get trapped in Saudi Arabia, but they just didn't seem to be present for this. And that was the refreshing part of it. Like, what was written here? This, to me, was Triple H empowering the talent, giving them bullet points, and saying, here's how this is going to go. We're coming in. You're paired with you. You're paired with you. You're paired with you. Yep. Cool. We're invading. Also, you're going over. You're going over. You're going over. And everyone that I just pointed at, I'm on the radio, is the NXT talent, is going over.
Right. Everybody picks on these poor writers. I don't think this is the writers need to script this for television so that we know where breaks are going in, and we know they don't need to script the word for word stuff.
And that's what I would pick on. I pick on the verbiage that is used by the writers and how phony all of the promos feel.
I just don't love the fact that we pick on writers because it's not the writers. The writers are in the employ of Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
And people keep picking on these writers. It's not the writers. The writers, if you took Vince McMahon out of this equation, those writers would not be doing this anymore. The fish rots from the head.
Mm-hmm.
The rotten head is Vince McMahon. So that's the problem. I just don't, every time somebody picks on the writers, I get, part of me is like, hey man, don't do that to these people. These people are just doing their jobs. They're trying to script a television show.
Yeah.
And I know that there are wrestling fans that are like, well, it shouldn't be scripted. Well, I hate to break it to you. Even a reality show is scripted.
Oh, well, that's over-scripted.
Yeah, they call them unscripted, but they're scripted. These things are all scripted. And yes, does the verbiage need to be that? No, certainly not. But I don't think that that's the writer's fault.
All right, we have done a huge block on this. We're going to talk about it more. It was very exciting to watch. It's going to be fascinating to see what happened to Raw. We're going to go a little bit back here. We're going to talk some Crown Jewel. We'll talk about AEW. The fact we haven't talked about it in this first hour is crazy because, hey, they crowned tag champions this week.
They did.
Yeah, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. The next segment, we're going to tell you about what we are up to, Mark and I are up to in the next few weeks because you're about to get a whole bunch of content for patrons. And then the next hour, we'll get a deep dive into AEW and preview Full Gear. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're doing so on TSN Radio. Right now, you're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, and you're hearing this ad. Yep, it's a commercial, and it could be your commercial. We've got sponsorship packages available to suit any budget, so I could be talking about what you're selling. For more information, email me, jason@snmeradio.com. Get the message out about your product or service to thousands of listeners in Southern Ontario via TSN Radio and around the world with our podcast. It all starts with an email to jason@snmeradio.com.
Change!
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event, and after much exhaustive research, I was trying to figure out what this clip was.
You really looked for it.
I consistently talk about this clip. It's the one that I just played for you there, and it was from, it's actually a Raw broadcast. Sorry, I was referring to it as SmackDown, but it's, I keep talking about something that happened July 9th, 2001, mm-hmm. when it seems like, let me look at the guys involved here now that I do this. So you had guys in the ring that were in a tag match, and all of a sudden, I can't remember, I mean, Lance Storm is in here, and they ended up teaming.
Lance Storm, who's coming back?
That's right, he's going to be working with WWE as well. So you have like all of these dudes run in, and it's like Taz and the Dudleys, and I think Raven is in there, and then they all stand up to these guys that were already in the ring. This is a very blurry video, and then you notice as they turn their backs and high five that they're all ECW guys.
Yeah. You can find it on YouTube if you want to watch it at home. What's the title of the
Just search ECW Invades Raw July 9th, 2001. This was the invasion that I continue to talk about and reference, and I thought it was great. The Nexus was great as well, and listen, right in that category, I will talk about this NXT show, and probably, though, Mark, as we stated, talk about it in past tense of how great it could have been.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, hopefully, right? Always hopefully. But if history has proven anything, it's that our hopes will be dashed to the ground and spat on.
The nice thing about it, though, is you and I will be able to document this.
Yes.
As today, we are in studio here together, but for the next 5 weeks, you and I will be on the road together. We did this last year. It's actually how I think you really became part of this show.
Yeah.
You and I started doing hotel room podcasts because we are going on the road together doing an edutainment tour. To all the best places in Ontario. Mm-hmm.
I like to tell people we're touring a game show. It sounds
cool.
Yeah,
we are. Yeah, we are. Yeah. We're touring an educational game show.
Yeah.
A live performance thing. So anyhow, so you and I are going to be in hotels for like the next 5 weeks straight. Mm-hmm. So we'll be doing the midweek mark out for patrons. Well, now you'll be putting the mark and mark out.
Yes, I will. Remember that time that our hotel neighbor, I was
complained?
Your hotel because it was in your room.
Yes, it was.
Complained to the front desk because we were too loud.
We were too loud.
We were just talking.
About at this level. I'm very loud. We got excited. I don't remember about what.
Yeah, but it's not like we were throwing a party.
No. It got quite loud. So anyhow, so that's what we'll be doing for the next 5 weeks or so. Mark and I will be doing the podcast. Along with that, in the midst of this tour, Mark, we go to Survivor Strikes because mm-hmm. Survivor Series is happening. We're going to be moving back to the Friday for the live performance at Comedy Bar of Survivor Strikes. This will once again be the team format. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get your tickets, they are available right now. All you got to do is check out SundayNightsMainEvent.com. I've got a post up there for Survivor Strikes. Tickets are $15 each. It is Friday, November 22nd at 11 p.m. Mark is going to be working the show. I'll be hosting the show and maybe an invasion.
There's also a bunch of tickets already sold. I checked on the...
Really?
Because I have access to the tickets.
Oh!
So there's a bunch of tickets already sold, so you should get your tickets in advance.
So you can do that. Listen, if you're a patron and you upgrade to the comedy level, it's honestly a really great deal. Because it's $12 a month to be at that level, and you get a pair of tickets to this show.
And the tickets are $15.
$15 each.
Oh.
So you get $30 of tickets. Like, bam, right there.
Yeah. So
it's a really good deal.
Yeah, just do it.
So there you have it.
I have a bet though to make with the listeners.
What's that?
We can maybe start this on the Facebook page. What's the over under on us getting complaints in a hotel room?
Well,
how many complaints? How many times will we be told to shut up?
Okay. Well, it looks like we'll probably be doing at least four. There is 1 week we're not on the road, so
okay.
I'm not sure. So at least four podcasts on the road.
Right.
I'd say at least half.
You think it's going to be 2? So the over-under is 2.
I mean, we're going to Kenora the first one. The first one's going to be in Kenora, Ontario. Look it up.
Yeah.
You fly to Winnipeg, then you drive 2.5 hours out in the bush.
So it's a party town is what you're saying.
So I don't necessarily know who is going to complain, as in who is going to be in that hotel with us.
Those are the ones I think that complain.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Very quiet, so our voices really carry.
Yeah.
Also, for patrons, the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament is coming. It's going to be bigger than ever this year. We've only done one before. So it looks like already it will be bigger than ever. People have signed on. You have to be a patron. You have to sign up before the end of November. The reason why is I'm going to start scheduling people, and I got to see how many people have qualified, how many people are in the bracket of the Turnbuckle Trivia, which is the $6 a month bracket. That's all it is. And I'm going to have to start writing trivia. I literally have to write, it's about 500 trivia questions or something like that, as once we get through the whole tournament. I'm willing to make it as big as you guys want. I'm willing to go ahead and write all of this trivia, but you have to be a patron. You have to sign up within the month of November so I know that you're there in December, and then we're going to play it on out January, February, March, and we're going to climax it at WrestleMania.
What's the prize? Do we, are we allowed to know the prize?
I do know.
Okay.
I do know. Of course, this is in conjunction with Pro Wrestling Tees.
Okay.
So the winner, last time we did like 5 t-shirts from Pro Wrestling Tees.
Five.
Of your choice. Yep. And then second, I think I gave 2 as well. So that is up for grabs. Along with that, I have this figure, Mark. I don't know who got it for me, but I have it and I'm willing to give it up. It's an internet exclusive Ric Flair figure. It says right on it. So there's a limited amount made. They're all selling for like $100 online.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that will be part of it. And I'll build more prizes around that.
Cool.
So that'll be there plus the t-shirt. So that will be the prize for Turnbuckle Trivia. So it's patreon.com/SNME Radio. There you go. Hit up the Turnbuckle Trivia format. If you're already on there, just upgrade to Turnbuckle Trivia so I know you're in the mix. And I'll be contacting everyone very shortly. And that is what we're doing.
You know what? I'll sign a headshot. You can throw that in there too.
You want okay? Headshot.
I'll sign a headshot and give it to you. And that can be one of the prizes.
Real headshot or cartoon headshot?
No, real headshot.
Okay, real headshot. From I'm just saying like we're all cartoons now.
Oh, I know. I saw that. That's
we're
great.
All cartoons. So thank you, by the way, to Shauna Smoke. She was a loyal fan of Conventioneers. She comes to all the comedy shows. She's an artist, and she did all of our little cartoons.
Such good work.
It's fun, right? Like, it's fun. There's one, and my goodness, it really took the years off Mouth.
Oh, my goodness. So what a young Mouth.
Mouth is a child.
That's not a sentence I want to say ever
again. Okay. Yeah, let's move along and get on out of here. No. We are going to take a break. When we come back, the second hour is going to be AEW. We'll look back at what happened this week on TV. We'll look forward to next week's pay-per-view. That is all to come in this hour. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're doing so on TSN Radio.
Did I really say that on the radio?
You did. Yeah, you said that. Tell me lies. Tell me sweet little lies. Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Well, that was just hour one, but if you want hour two, then please sign up to our Patreon. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. It's just $1 a week. You get the full 2-hour show, commercial free, and along with that, all of our bonus podcasts that include The Midweek Markout, All Elite Weekly, Sunday Morning Trivia, and Dan Lavransky's Music Show. All of that comes to you for just $1 a week. So go get it right now. Patreon.com/SNME Radio.